Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome. I am so glad to have you here. Happy Monday to everybody. And you know what? If you're feeling a little distracted today at work, at school, at home, with whatever you're supposed to be doing, well, we've got the perfect guest for you because we've got Julie Lefebure today, and she is going to talk to us about her book, Right Now Matters, Empowering Right Now Women in a Culture of Distraction. Now, if you are not a woman, do not turn the dial because we're going to talk to you too, and we may give you some very helpful information you may want to share with women in your life. But I'm really happy to talk about this because I think you hear me talking a lot about culture today living at the speed of a smartphone. And friends, we have trained our brain to absorb information in about 15-second increments. Any longer than that, we find ourselves distracted. And we have Julie today who knows firsthand what it's like to live distracted. She is a speaker. She's a host of the Encouragement for Real Life podcast, and she is author of Right Now Matters. And she desires for women to live abundant and joy-filled lives by embracing a right now mentality and presence in their everyday moments. Born, raised, and still living in rural Iowa, she is fond of sunrises and sunsets. Me too, Julie. Time spent with family, absolutely. And tandem bicycling with her husband. Julie, that's where we're going to have to jump off the train here of having similarities. I don't know if I've ever ridden a tandem bicycle with my husband, but we are so glad to have you here, Julie. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Jessica. It's such a joy to be here. Thank you.
It is a joy to have you here because I think this is such a perfect message for where we are. So I would love for you to share with our listeners just a little bit about your journey, your life, and how did you start this journey of pursuing an undistracted life?
I have been living distracted for a very long time, but I hadn't named it as such until it was my son's senior year of high school, and I was at one of his soccer games. That's his favorite sport. And I'm the mom that shows up for everything. Even though my kids are adults now, I still show up for them. Everything that they're doing, I want to be a part of. And so I was there that day cheering him on. He was my focus on the field in that bright white and orange jersey until he wasn't. For just a split second, my mind went pinballing from one thing to another for like maybe the things I had to do later in the day or my to-do list, or I don't know where exactly my mind went, but I got jolted back to reality when I heard the crowd roar and people were looking at me with approving glances, and I thought, what's going on? Here, my son had scored a goal and I missed it. I was sitting right there. My eyes were on the field, but I had checked out and I completely missed his goal. And the biggest thing was that he was a defender and defenders don't score goals. I thought, I will never get to see this and relive this moment again. And it was in that moment that I knew I had a problem, and I drew a line in the sand and I said, something has to change. I cannot continue living like this and missing priceless moments happening right in front of me.
I think
all of this began.
There's no parent who can't relate to that. And it is such a guilt-inducing moment where we are just distracted. And even maybe it's something like, you seeing your son score a goal. But I'm thinking about those everyday interactions where my kids are coming up to me saying, Mom, I just asked you a question. And I'm thinking, wait, what did you ask me? And the truth is, Julie, there is a whole genre of Instagram reels and TikTok videos exactly like this. Like they'll say POV, you just ask your mom a question and she's distracted and doesn't listen or can't hear it. And I think it's important to point out, you know, this story that you're sharing about your son, you say in your book that it happened in 2015. So you're like 9 years in to this journey. So I'm really excited for you to share all of your lessons with us and reminding our listeners at home that, hey, this is not something that happened overnight. Am I right?
Oh, I'm still living this journey. I'm still walking it out. There's still days that there's something every day that distracts me. Like I remember recently I was making a recipe and I put salt in instead of sugar because I was distracted, you know, so this is something that I think on this side of eternity, we will battle for the rest of our lives because we live in this culture of distraction. But we have hope and we can learn tips and tricks and tools along the way that will help us stay present and live in the moment. And not only for ourselves, but for those in our lives to, you know, to grow us, to help others and to glorify God.
Well, how did your journey go from deciding at that pivotal moment, I am going to pursue an undistracted life, to writing a book and sharing about it? What was that like?
Well, you know, that was the hard part. I couldn't find any resources that back in 2015 that would help me to live an undistracted life. I looked for books. I looked for websites. I couldn't find anything. And so I thought, okay, my last resort, which should have been my first resort, I turned to God. And I said, God, you did not wire me to live this way. I know you didn't because it feels awful. If you did wire me to live this way, I know I would feel like I'm in your will, and I am not in your will living this way. And so I just began to pay attention to what distracts me, to what distracted me throughout my day. And I just simply started with writing those things down, whether it was, you know, a phone call that interrupted my day or a thought or, you know, sitting down at my laptop working and I would all of a sudden think, oh, what are we going to have for dinner tonight? Or my friend called me 3 days ago and I forgot to call her back. I mean, it's just those little things that can distract us. They're not all necessarily bad, but mm-hmm. in the moment that we're focused on doing something, we can just be distracted throughout the day and never get anything done, men or women. And so that it's just been a process of walking it out, and then kind of documenting what I did. And I didn't realize at the time, but that became my book and how God led me through step by step to just continue keeping my eyes on Him, living a life that honored Him and not focused on distractions.
You know what I love about this, Julie, is, you know, I've interviewed so many authors now, and not once has an author got on the microphone and said, well, yes, I wrote this book because I have all of the answers and I'm so educated and I know everything and I just want to share that. No, every single author says, let me tell you about this tough time that God pulled me through, a lesson that He taught me, a season He allowed me to walk through. And then that pain that we have serves purpose for others. And I'm just so happy that you are bringing this message forward, because let's be real, Julie, this message that you're bringing is not very popular. You know, there are a lot of other trendy topics that, oh, yes, we want to talk about this or that. We want to talk about mental health or, you know, other things. And I'm not saying those topics are bad things, but who wants to carry the message of, hey, you're distracted and you're missing out on your life? Like that is a hard message to carry. But your book invites the readers to do just that, to embrace a right now mentality. And you share another experience actually about the bicycle, which isn't going to convince me to ride a bicycle, Julie, anytime soon, a tandem bicycle. But tell us, what does that look like to have a right now mentality? What can you share that story with us?
Oh, yeah. And the bicycle?
Or... Yes, about the bicycle.
Yeah. Well, my husband was an avid bicyclist, and he always did Ragbri every year, which is the annual bike ride across Iowa. It's a 7-day bike ride, and you go from one side of the state to the other. And it was never my thing, but he, so I would just cheer him on from my couch as he did that the last week of July every year. And so in 2013, he finished Rag Bri and he was training for another ride. And on a Saturday morning, he was on a two-lane road on his bike and he got hit by a car, to make a long story short.
Awful.
And he flew 30 feet in the air. And the thought of it still today just shakes me up. There's no doubt God did not spare him. God spared mm-hmm. his life that day. I know without a doubt. But he struggled with this afterwards, thinking, can I ever get back on a bike again? He had, no really broken bones. I guess he did have some cracked ribs, but no broken bones. His helmet never got a scratch on it. It's just a miracle that he mm-hmm. walked away from this, but his bike was totaled and he didn't know if he could do it again. And so he asked me that next winter, would you consider doing Rag Bri with me? And so, how could I say no?
I could think of some ways. I have some ideas.
Yeah, I know. But, he wanted to face his fear. And if I said no, would I hinder him from doing that? And so I had to say yes. And so we had this 1985 tandem bicycle hanging in our garage. We just rode it for fun, maybe once or twice. And so we dusted that thing off and we started training. And that taught me so much of riding on a bicycle with him, but I was able to see him face that fear and get back on the bike. And there was this one stop on Rag. So we did Rag Bri that year. And there's one stop that this little girl made friendship bracelets. Mm-hmm. And so we would stop at these little stands along the way during Rag Bri. And so we bought one of these bracelets and I still wear this bracelet today. It is a little friendship bracelet that reminds me to live in the moment, to stay present, because I was taking my husband for granted at the time and I didn't realize it. But if God would have taken him home that day, I wasn't living in the moment then, but now I have this reminder that, tomorrow's not guaranteed. So all we have is right now. And God is with us in the right now moment. I'm sure he was with us in the past and his word mm-hmm. promises that he'll be with us in the future. But really all we have is right now. He meets us in the right now. So that's my message, that right now is truly all that matters.
There are so many inspiring takeaways from that story, Julie. First of all, I can hear my husband at work where he's listening to me, I'm sure, saying, "See, Jessica, I tell you this all the time, carpe diem." That's what he says to me all the time. If I say, "Oh, not today," or "not right now," or "maybe later," he'll say, "Carpe diem, we're not guaranteed tomorrow." So he definitely embraces that mentality more than I do. But Julie, one of the things I love about that friendship bracelet is that sometimes we can underestimate what children can bring and what children can contribute to our faith journey. But I'm just picturing this little girl making a friendship bracelet, having no idea that her craft that she made that day is so impactful in your life, even now today. I think that's absolutely amazing. Well, how do we know if we are living distracted? We're coming right up against a break, Julie, but give us a preview and we'll continue our conversation in the second segment.
Yeah, well, there's five ways. And the first one I think is one of the biggest ones is some indications that help us to know, am I really living distracted? Because we usually don't realize until mm-hmm. all of a sudden, oh my goodness, something comes up in our vision. It's like, I am living distracted. And the first one has to do with our focus. Do we have a difficult time staying focused in what we're doing? Because this is, our minds wander often, especially we're on social media. We're doing all these other things at work. We might be on our phone and on the computer at the same time. Our thoughts scattered much of the time. That is one of the first few things. If I can't stay focused, I might be living distracted. Another one is that you find it challenging to complete tasks in a timely manner. If we find that we're always moving our to-do list to the next day, that might be an indication we aren't getting done what we need to get done. And those are the two of the biggest ones, I think, that just make an awareness of, oh goodness, I might have an issue here. And the third one is a big one. You often find yourself in a rush. And I know you talk about on the show a lot, being busy and living in a rush. And
I'm going to pause you right there, Julie. I'm going to pause you right there because Ooh, that is a big moment of self-conviction for me. We're going to have a little impromptu therapy session after this break. So if you caught it, you can't stay focused, you don't get your to-do list done, and you're in a rush, we've got two more ways you'll know you're living distracted. We'll be right back to talk about more of those. Last year, because of you, Preborn's network of clinics saw over 58,000 babies saved. Thank you to all who made this possible. Let's celebrate these precious babies. Daisy and her husband had decided they never wanted kids. And when she found out she was pregnant, she immediately thought abortion. But after she and her husband met her baby on ultrasound and heard the heartbeat, their hearts melted and they chose life. Her baby Jeffrey is healthy and beautiful, and Daisy and her husband can't even imagine life without him. Each of these babies are truly miraculous, and every day, Preborn celebrates 200 miracles. $28 a month can be the difference between the life and death of a child. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection that doubles a baby's chance at life. Let's join together and help mothers choose life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back to my conversation with Julie Lefebure, author of Right Now Matters, Empowering Right Now Women in a Culture of Distraction. Now, this book was the number one new release on Amazon in the Christian and Family Relationships category during its release. And I think that's because this message matters right now. It really does. And Julie has graciously agreed to give away, as I like to say, not one, not two, but three books for three callers. You can call now at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we will give you a copy on behalf of Julie of Right Now Matters. Now, Julie, before the break, we were right in the thick of it saying, how do we know if we're living distracted? I'm taking notes and I'm trying to stay focused, because the number one is I can't stay focused. Number two, it's challenging to accomplish your to-do list. You're just constantly getting distracted. And you were just starting to tell us about number three, being in a rush. And I am about to experience some major conviction. So go right ahead.
Yes. Well, that third one always convicts me, because my natural pace is rushed. And when we find ourselves in a rush often, that's usually an indication that we aren't quite taking the steps in God's step, in God's plans. We might be trying to go a little bit faster than he does. And so when we are distracted, we constantly feel like we're behind. And so when we are rushing, that's a very good indication that we are living distracted. And it's a good question just to ask ourselves, why am I in such a hurry anyway? Why do I have to be in such a hurry? Mm-hmm. So that's the third one. The fourth one is, this is a big one too. It's a convicting one for me, is that you've lost your joy and peace. Mm-hmm. And we might not even realize it, but many of us are walking around with no joy or no peace. And so if, on a scale of 1 to 10, if we just did a check right now, 1 being the lowest and 10 being the highest, what would your number be? Rate your personal joy and peace right now. Are they low or are they high? And I did this, asked a question to an audience of women a couple weekends ago, and so many women said zeros. And my heart just sank.
Zero.
They had no joy and no peace. And there were some ones and twos. Very rare did I hear anything higher than a four. And I thought, this is a big indication that we are living distracted. Because when we are distracted, we can't be peaceful. We can't exude that joy that the Holy Spirit gives, the Holy Spirit blesses us with. It gets all blocked up because we're distracted and we can't minister to other people or be the people that we want, that God desires us to be when we're distracted. So that peace and joy is a huge piece. So whatever your number is today, kind of make a mental note like, okay, I might want to raise my level up a little bit. And one way we can do that is to live undistracted. And we'll talk about that maybe. But and then the fifth way is another big one for many people. It's nearly impossible for you to enjoy the moment. If you're with others and you're not able to enjoy their company, but you're always thinking about the next thing or what you're going to say next or whatever your mind might be racing to the next thing, or if you have a quiet moment alone and you can't appreciate the moment that you're in, that you can just sit and relax for a minute and let your mind rest, that might be an indication that you are distracted because you're not enjoying the moment that God is giving you right now.
Those are so convicting, Julie. So looking back through those five signs that you give us, I'm just thinking of a very common scenario. So maybe parents wake up on a Sunday morning, they know they're going to church, and oh, I'm looking at my phone. The next thing I know, I'm distracted. I'm watching reels. I'm, you know, looking at whoever is doing what. And then all of a sudden, oh, I don't have everything to do. Now we're in a rush, right? So all the kids are, hey, hurry up, we gotta go, we gotta go. There is no joy and there is no peace in that, Julie, for sure. And then by the time you get everybody to church and you sit down, you're thinking, oh, great, what am I going to do for lunch? Like, I mean, that might seem really silly, but I'm just saying I was so convicted in reading this, thinking this plays out in every day of my life. Like, this is just how I'm living. And I think that we are all living way too busy. This is something that's personally convicting for me because people use this word all the time to describe me. They'll say, I know you're busy. And Julie, it's like a knife in my heart. Like, I hate that. I don't want that to be my reputation, but you've actually gone so far as to remove the word busy from your life. How and why? Tell us all the secrets. Tell me everything.
Yeah. Well, I have. I can't even say the word anymore without it just bubbling up and
it's cringy.
So.
It's terrible.
Yeah, and when I wrote it in the book, in that chapter, it was so hard for me to write it so many times because I just don't say it anymore. So I think the first step to removing busy from our life is to remove it from our vocabulary. Mm. If we will stop saying the word busy, something happens that we won't live into that word anymore. So like for an example, someone asks, you know, how you doing? One common response is, oh, I'm busy, or how are you today? And you hear, I'm busy. And I think it's just sometimes a common response that we don't even realize. And I heard you recently say on a previous show that, you know, busy is not a badge of honor. And it's not. It's really a negative. It can be a very negative thing in our lives if we allow it space to control the pace of our lives. And so I've chosen now to take that word completely out. I don't say it. I will say the word full instead. And so my life is full. It's not busy. It's full. And I'm hearing people catching themselves all the time now. And it's so fun to hear them catch on to this because they might choose another word like an abundant life, or, you know, they just take, it's amazing what that does. It sounds so silly. I know it sounds so silly, but if you will just take that busy word out of your vocabulary, you'll find, you'll just find it a whole different way to live and a whole different pace and a whole different perspective that I believe God just is blessed by and is honored by, because we never saw Jesus being busy. He was always on point doing what his Father's will was, but he was never busy. And so I think that's just one of the key things that we can emulate and use him as an example, just to have a full life, but not a busy life.
I am convicted to the core of my soul. Julie, let me tell you, my husband texted me today at 12:09 p.m. I'm literally reading this to you off my phone. My producer can verify. He said, hey, babe, how is your day going? And you know what I said back? busy with three exclamation marks after it. Oh, but you're so right. I think, but you know what? Our actions, our emotions, our intent, they do follow our words. So in just saying, okay, I'm not going to use that word anymore. I'm thinking, okay, I don't want to be busy. What am I doing? I'm being productive. I'm, you know, something like that. Like, you know, I'm accomplishing a lot today. That gives me more purpose than just saying, yeah, I'm busy. And I think I might have texted that to my daughter too. Oh my goodness, Julie. Okay. Clearly. All right. Tell us more about distractions. We've talked a little bit about that because that's really the reason that we're busy, is because we're just running from distraction to distraction. So what kinds of distractions are there, and which do you see as the most common that most people are struggling with?
Okay, gosh, these are just perfect questions, because I label these distractions. I see two categories of distractions. There are the internal distractions that come from within us and the external distractions that come from outside of us. So an internal distraction might be our thoughts. Okay, what do I need to make for dinner tonight? Or an overwhelming memory from the past. Those can be internal distractions. External ones would be like social media or our phones or the TV or someone knocking at your door when you're in the middle of something. So those are external distractions. And when I was writing the book, I thought, I know what my distractions are on an everyday basis, but what are distractions of other women? And again, this book was written for women, but mm-hmm. many men have read this book and say, I'm right there with them. I understand. So, I just put this out on social media, and I said, women, I'm writing this book for you. Give me what is distractions of the last 24 hours in your life. Mm-hmm. And they listed, there was 25 women that took part of it, and they just were brutally honest and shared what their distractions were in the last 24 hours and then the last week. And so there was five common ones that resonated and that were almost on everyone's list. And I thought, oh my word, this is a gold mine, because I am not the only one that are struggling with these. These women are too. And so there's five big ones, and I bet many of us can relate to these five. So I call them the big five, and I list them in chapter five. Mm-hmm. But the big five are the past, where we're either regretting the past or we're living in the good old days of the past. The next one is the future, which you could imagine, the past or the future. Mm-hmm. And the future might be something, that we're looking forward to, that's going to be something great down the road, or a worry or a fear of the future. And so those are the past and the future are two big ones. A third one is technology. And I don't even need to go into that, because you know what technology, what a distraction that can be. Yes, it's a great thing. It's a great tool. And what would we do without technology? But we have allowed technology a place in our lives that almost has become a god to many of us. And what would we do without technology? Could we put our phones down for a day? Could we plan off of social media for a period of time? You know, anything that we allow in our lives to take the place of God, it's just, that's one of those things that we need to be really we really just need to be aware of and say, oh my word, I can't keep this in my life as much as I have. So technology can be a big one. So that's the third one. And again, we can either rule over technology or it rules over us. It's our choice in there. The fourth one is our thoughts or ourselves. And kind of like what I said, you know, a little bit ago, with our thoughts, those internal things that may just, our minds just continue to go. I know many women like myself, even my husband has said when he lays down at night, sometimes his thoughts, my thoughts, it just races. Our brains just keep going. And so that's a big one, where our thoughts and ourselves might be the biggest distraction of our lives. And then it's important to keep a healthy perspective of our thoughts and really what are we thinking. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is multitasking. And people really don't like this one because so many of us multitask.
Because we're guilty.
Yes, we've been taught to. You know, this culture has taught us to multitask. And if we don't multitask, then we really don't have it all together if we don't multitask. And I read a number of studies, a number of books on this and how multitasking is really ruining our brains. And the language that they used is alarming to me because we can't just go to the store and buy a new brain, right?
I mean, right.
We get one brain and we are charged to take care of it. And because God never wired our brains to do more than one thing at a time. And so even if we think like we are doing two things at a time, like I might be on my phone answering someone and on my laptop at the same time, but really I'm only doing one thing at a time. It's just clicking back and forth very fast pinballing from one thing to another. And by the end of the day, our brains are tired. We are worn out after a day of multitasking. We were never meant to live this way. Now, of course, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. That's not what I'm talking about multitasking, mm-hmm. but it's when we're actually doing two specific tasks at one time. Really, we're only focusing on one at a time, but it may appear like we're doing two, but it's just our brains are switching back and forth very quickly, which isn't good.
So these things
are the big five.
Those are so convicting. They are a big five, Julie. And I think about, you know, my journey as a mom and thinking about, I used to be very distracted by the past. And I've shared a story before about, you know, my husband taking a photo of me when I was having conflict with, family situations that had happened in the past. And I was so upset with him for taking a picture of me while I was upset. But he told me, this is what our children see every day. Basically, you being distracted by the past and wanting a life that you will never have. And then I think, okay, then I shifted to the future thinking, all right, all I'm going to think about is, are my kids going to grow up to love me? Am I going to have a good relationship with them? Are they going to grow up to love God and serve others? And will they be healthy? And will they be happy? And I thought so much about that. And then even looking at, you know, technology now, I mean, that is so convicting in and of itself. But even thinking about multitasking, you know, one of the things I think about is a culture, the hustle culture, right? That's, we're not taught just to accept it, but to celebrate it. And there is something to be said for working hard or getting things done that you need to get done. But I think about, you know, honestly, I've shared before, Julie, about the lie that you can effectively multitask as a working mom. And, you know, you can be both and do both things. And the truth is, it's really hard to do both things well. And that is just really convicting to me. Well, we have convicted everyone, Julie. We are all sitting here saying, I am guilty. This is me. I am living life distracted. I want right now to matter, Julie. And so when we come back, Julie is going to share with us the solution to living distracted. She has it. She'll share it with us. And in the meantime, congratulations to Jill from Texas, Sarah from Texas, and Larry from North Carolina, all who will be getting a copy of Right Now Matters. And we'll be back with some answers for you after this break.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, welcome back to my conversation with Julie Lefebure, author of Right Now Matters. Now, if you've ever felt like life is passing you by as you juggle endless to-do lists, relentless notifications, and unexpected interruptions, you are not alone. These are Julie's words to you. In a world plagued by distracted living, we often miss the extraordinary moments unfolding right before our eyes. And before the break, Julie has us all convicted. I think we've all seen this distracted culture that we live in. No one has been at any kid's sports game without looking around and seeing a lot of parents, sometimes me included, with our heads down on our phone, more engaged and distracted by our online life than the real life that's happening right in front of us. But there is hope. And that is a really important message that I know Julie wants to get across and that I want to affirm, that this is not hopeless. Julie has figured this out, how to take this journey with things that are simple, but maybe not easy, but worth the intentional journey. So Julie, start walking us through the solution. What do we do besides get your book and read every word and try to get, you know, control of this busy beast?
Yeah, you know, it's not easy. You're right. It's not. And it is simple, but it's not easy. So there is a difference. But, you know, when I was struggling and trying to figure out, okay, what is the answer? What I needed the answer. Just give me the answer, God. I need to know. And, you know, it just came, bottom line came down that He is the answer. You know, it's so simple, but He is the answer to it all. Because as soon as we take our focus off of God and put it on the distraction, that's when we lose. That's when we fail. I only want to say fail, but that's when we start to follow the things of this world and not following Him. If we would keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and on God's will for our lives, then the distractions fall away. Sure, they're still going to try to come in. Believe me. They will come in and they will try to steer us off course and they will try to distract us from the things that are important. But when we have our eyes fixed on the Lord's will, we will be able to follow that. And so in the chapter that I talk about that in the book, it's a new way of living. Even if we've walked with the Lord for a very long time, it's intentionally asking Him, please guide me today. Please help me to follow Your path, Your will. Don't let me be distracted by lesser things today, Lord. And it's not just a daily prayer to say, but it's something moment by moment that some days I just have to stop and say, okay, God, I need You right now. Help me. Help me to live undistracted. Help me to focus on You. I know I'm not in Your will right now, or whatever it might be for the moment, but He's the answer. It's so simple, but it's so true. He's the answer and He's our solution.
He is our solution.
With everything.
It's so true. But you know, I think as humans, we want this like magical life hack, you know, like, oh, yes. Here's this app that will manage your schedule and it will help you pause at every 30 minutes for a 1 minute breathing exercise. Like, we want that kind of answer. But the truth is, this is just all about relationship. I mean, I just think about the scripture saying, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. And we just run around and with our face every which way, but to the Lord. And you have a really good tool called the 4 P's. So those of you who are thinking, I want an app, I want a life hack, okay, this is a compromise. She's going to give you a tool called the 4 P's that is a starting point for all of those concrete thinkers like me out there.
Yes, I share this in chapter 9. I give 4 solutions and 4 tips. And at the end of every chapter, we use this one, the 4 P's. P as in Paul, so the 4 P's. And it starts off with that we just pause. So if you want to, at a place you can write these down, might want to do that. But we just pause throughout the day. So right now, let's just do this together. Okay, we're pausing what we're doing. We're just going to pause. We're going to take a breath, take a big, deep breath in and exhale, and we're just going to pause. And then the next P is ponder. And just ponder, what is around us? What do we see? What do we smell? What's around us that we're touching? What do we hear? Maybe you're tasting something. What do you taste? So just involving the 5 senses. So that we're pondering this, with this pondering this moment. And then the next thing is to pray. So you pray about what you pondered. And I get some examples in the book, but say for an example, I'm noticing the beautiful blue sky that's kind of just touched with some white fluffy clouds out there out the window. And so I would just, you know, pray, Lord, thank You for this day. And I just am just so hopeful that You've created You've created this day. You know me, You know who I am. I see the beautiful clouds. I see the beautiful sky. Just pray about whatever you pondered. And then the last step is to praise Him for all of that. God, I praise You for this beautiful sky. I praise you that you are in control of all things. I praise you that you, nothing happens that isn't sifted through your hands first. And you just have a moment, and it doesn't take very long. It's maybe a minute. It could be 30 seconds that you do all of these four P's. But the more you do it, the quicker you're going to get through, just because you're more familiar with it. But you're pausing time and you're stopping in the moment, appreciating the moment. And when we do that, we will not be distracted, but we will be soaking in this moment. We will almost be like marking time of this very moment and how we lived fully in it and thanked God for it. It's one of my favorite simple hacks that we can use throughout our day.
You know what I love about it, Julie, is that it's really got some sound brain science in it. And good brain science is always synergistic with biblical principles. So even looking at pausing, Jesus paused so many times. I mean, I think about even little scriptures where it says he turned and looked at the person. It doesn't just say, he said something. It says it gives us that moment where he obviously had to pause, Julie. He stops, he turns around, he turns and looks at you. And so I'm just thinking about that model and then in pondering that grounding technique you're talking about. What are you seeing? What are you feeling? What are you hearing? That is a really good, actually coping behavioral skill. That's really good for anxiety or depression when our brains are going a million miles a minute. That's a good grounding technique that we can rein it back in and think, okay, where am I in this moment? Like, okay, I'm smelling, like baby smells, and that's good. Like, I'm here with a baby. I'm taking care of a baby, or I'm smelling the baseball dirt. I'm at a baseball game or a soccer game, whatever it is. Of course, praying has all kinds of health benefits that are science supported, as does praise, looking at gratitude when we're intentionally gracious. And Julie, I love that you are echoing what so many people have come on before you and said, what we talk about on this show is that these practices are very simple. They're not easy to be disciplined to do, but they are so worth the investment when we're intentional. Now, I want to talk about the flip side of this a little bit, Julie, because you told a really sweet story in your book about the fact that not all distractions are bad. There are some good distractions, and you tell a story about your daughter actually getting distracted and how it kind of took her life in a different turn. So can you kind of share that contrast there?
Yes. My best friend, who is an English high school teacher, she challenged me on this, and she said, I teach my students that they need to have a distraction in their life. And I'm like, what? what are you teaching them, to have a distraction? Well, she explained it to me that sometimes we need distractions to, and these students do, to find a healthy, basically an outlet to release some of the high school stress that they're walking through. And so I came up with another word. I totally agreed with her after she explained it to me. But I came up with another word, and it's diversions, where we can have healthy diversions in our life, which could be perceived as a distraction. So for an example, I gave the story in the book about my daughter, and it's interesting. She's my guest on my podcast, which airs tomorrow, which is kind of fun. And we were talking about this, that God has just had this plan for her life. She's going to be 30 next month. And she sees it now. Of course, when she was in it, she couldn't, we can always we look back and, we have 20/20 vision when we look in the past, but, we never know what God's doing in the moment, but we can trust him. And so she did that all throughout her life, but he had closed doors of, she went to school to be
EMT, emergency.
EMT. Yeah. Uh-huh. And, the door just shut, and she just like, well, now what do I do? And so she went on. But the thing is, while she was in training to be an EMT, she had a ride along, what they call it around here, with to be training for EMT with this man of a fire department. Well, this man kind of liked her, and he asked her out, and now he is her husband. So he's my son-in-law. Yeah. So God, God's plans were perfect, but in that process, the doors were shutting, and she didn't understand. She couldn't, God, what are you doing? Well, she ended up taking a job at a bank, which has led her to wonderful success. She's now has two little boys, and she was able to walk away from corporate America from that bank job to be able to stay home and raise her boys and to run her own business, which is a balloon business, which is arches and, you know, big balloon decor that she does. But God had a plan all the way from the beginning. And so her diversion was balloons. And because she fell in love with just making people happy, she didn't know that balloons were going to be her business. But that became, she thought it in the moment was a distraction, but it actually was a diversion for God's perfect plans. I can also use an example in the book where, you know, if I'm downstairs in my office down here working and I am just overwhelmed, sometimes I'll just lace up my tennis shoes and I will get outside and walk. That is my diversion. But if I was in the middle of something and it was a very nice day out and I know I had a deadline by 5 p.m., but if I went out and walked when at a time that I really wasn't overwhelmed, that could be a distraction because I am doing something maybe that I should really be doing something better. There'd be a better choice for me to do. So I hope that that makes sense how I'm explaining it. But there's such a difference between distractions, which makes our life more complicated, where a diversion will make our life more beneficial and more hopeful and more encouraged. So you kind of have to look at, is this a diversion or is this a distraction? Is this making my life better or is it making my life more complicated?
Well, I'm not trying to. It does, and I'm not trying to alliterate what you're saying, but I love the distinction there, Julie, the distinction between diversion and distraction, because it's all about mindset. I mean, that's really what it is. A distraction is something we just want to zone out or something that's taking our attention away from something that's important. But a diversion feels more intentional. It feels more like, okay, I'm going to divert my energy for a short time here. I'm going to, you know, divert that, whatever that may be. Maybe that is, you just need some break time, but it's not just being distracted. And I just can't tell you how convicted I feel about this as a mom, because my kids, and I'm sure there's a lot of parents out there listening who can feel the same way. My kids are constantly telling me that I'm fubbing them, P-H-U-B-B-I-N-G. I'm phone snubbing them because I'm distracted by my phone. And I think that's one of the biggest distractions that we can have. So if we could just start with that and giving our attention, I know you've heard me talk, Julie, about listening with our face. If we could just start with that, when we're engaging and interacting with other people, giving them our whole face and giving them our whole attention is so important. Well, you have invited your readers to be what you call a right now woman, or I'll say a right now man. I'll just go ahead and put that out there. You too, guys. You invite them to be a right now woman. What is a right now woman and how can you become one? Because I really want to be one.
Well, you know, the first step is just understanding that where we are right now is the most important moment. And so living in the right now, that's what it means. It's not that we have to have everything done right now, but that we're living in the right now. We're embracing this moment. We're living in God's presence. We are taking this moment right now, knowing that we're not going to get to live it again. And we're doing the best that we can with it, relying on God and his equipping and his strength for the next right now moment. And so it's just moment by moment where we just get to decide, yes, I'm going to stay present. I'm going to live in the moment. I'm going to glorify God right here and right now. It's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be good because I'm in the center of God's will when I'm right now in this moment. And that's basically what a right now woman is, or a man, just accepting right now and staying present, being fully present right now in this incredible moment that God has given us.
Well, I'm going to predict that I'm going to get a text message from my husband following this show saying, hey, I listened to this radio show today that I think you should really take a listen to. Here's the link. Listen to it. Well, if you want to link and to with Julie, you can find her at julielefebure.com. Let me spell that for you. J-U-L-I-E, L-E, F as in Frank, E-B as in Barbara, U-R-E.com. You can also find her on Instagram. I told her, listen, I listen to her Today's Simple Prayer every single day. She just has a little video that says Today's Simple Prayer. And I immediately feel myself being less distracted and my blood pressure being lowered. So Julie, thank you so much. Her book is called Right Now Matters, Empowering Right Now Women in a Culture of Distraction. In the meantime, friend, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and give you peace. And we'll see you here next time, prescribing hope for healthy families.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.